And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 164.
164?
Probably. Who knows? I think so. Yeah. Sounds good. Welcome, everybody. My name is Saz Lindenstein.
My name's Samantha Rund.
And welcome to Black and a Half, the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably.
Probably.
We are here. Back again, and
today's been so long it felt like a week. Oh,
we got our guest for this show episode. The guest for this episode is Pamela Turpin, dancer, actor, artisanal actor. Pamela Turpin, a good friend of mine. She was in the short film Coming Out, available on YouTube and Amazon Prime.
And VHS. VHS.
Thank you. By the way, thank you. Shout out to everybody who helped make that last 3 cent royalty check possible. So check that out there. Pamela, was great to have on today. We talked about all sorts of artist goodness.
It's fun.
The creation of art, the building of art, becoming an artist, the
certain things that have been frustrating for us. Yeah.
Frustrations. Again, we covered Silas's bitterness toward acting. Segment.
You're not that bitter.
A little bit. But hey, you know what? We share a lot of stuff on here, but we also got to share when props, like when things happen, good things happen to us on Black and a Half. Samantha had a sketch up online. It's on the internet, going all over the tubes and wires everywhere. Samantha, you want to tell us about the sketch and what's aspect of it?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. The sketch, actually, I am going to give a shout out to Mark Warzeka and the Sketch School. Because I was taking a sketch writing class with him. I previously studied with him in Second City in LA. But anyway, one of the things in class we were working on, one of the types of sketches is like a character sketch. So it's like, okay, what's a character that you love? That's an optional assignment if you want to write about a character that you love. And I was just like, you know what? I really freaking love that Dr. Hadassah character that Robin Thede does on a Black Lady sketch show. Let me write something up for that and see how that goes. And I wrote it up and they enjoyed the sketch. And I thought, you know what? Like I've been wanting to film something for so long, like just to see what we can do at home, just us, and like make it happen. And so, yeah, wrote it, filmed it, got it up in less than a week. And my fiance helped out with the tech side because I'm glad he knows how to do all that stuff. I don't know how to do all the like green screeny, like adding cool feature stuff. But anyway, put it out there. And then I gave a shout out to Robin Thede too, to be like, hey, if you haven't seen Black Lady Sketch Show, watch it. I love this character that she does. I love it so much. Like I did a parody. Hope you guys enjoy it. Tweeted that out. She, and I don't like have much of a Twitter thing at all. She responded in like an hour or two or something, and just like quoted a few things from what I did in it, like gave me a shout out for nailing the character. And honestly, that just was one of the most satisfying things that I did. Like I didn't get paid for it or anything like that, but it was just, you know, this moment of like creation and artistry and like giving a shout out to somebody that I admire their work. And then actually having them really enjoy the character. So thanks, Silas. Like I did want to just mention it. If anybody hasn't seen Black Lady Sketch Show and you're fans of it, like of sketch, check it out. But then also like check out my parody because I'm pretty proud of it and would love it if it would make you laugh as well. It's on YouTube at Samantha Rund. Yeah.
Sweet.
That's my exciting
nice
moment.
Awesome.
Thanks.
I've got nothing to be proud of.
You guys are really cool. Like I do want to have coffee sometime and walk the lake or do it again.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. I'm 2 weeks post vaccine.
Do it. Me too. Can we do another short about flat earthers or just more dumb people?
Yeah, more dumb people. Not dumb people.
Be fun.
Oh, but can't pick on the Republicans too much. Anyway.
Yeah, is there? Well, I think there's always room for that.
Yeah. Hey, big shout out to our fan base. Thank you so much for supporting us. Of course, if you like the show, brings you any bit of entertainment, some joy, or maybe a new perspective on life, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a nice 5-star rating with some reviews. Just write some words. They don't even have to make sense necessarily, but they really need to be words on that review, and those really help us, bring us up in the ranks. And then, of course, if you want to become an ultra supporter of Black and a Half, you can go to patreon.com/blackandahalf and become... And for as little as $1 a month, you can join the League of Extraordinary Listeners. Or you can take that step up. Like, I think it's like the $5 or $6 a month level. I forget where it is. But like Tara Widener, Stephen Ward, Keith Nagel, you can become one of our inner circle members who, now that things are opening up, who knows how many perks you're going to get? Who knows how many listener parties we're going to have? I don't know. Does Samantha know? No, she doesn't even know what she's going to be doing in 3 months, right? She doesn't know where she'll be. She doesn't know what city. You know, we don't know where it's going to happen. But
oh man,
we will bring them first to Black and a Half listeners. You'll be the first to know. and then also you can support our other ventures.
Yeah,
you can go to my other podcast, You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, where I teach people how to buy a home anywhere in the nation, the step-by-step process. I connect real estate connect listeners with real estate agents that I've vetted, and that's a wonderful thing. And of course, if you're in the Seattle area, I'd love to help you out personally. So you can check me out, Silas Lindenstein at Boutique Brokerage. And also, you can go listen to this other awesome podcast. What's that called, Samantha?
Ah, thanks, Silas. That one's called Beyond Technique.
Well, that's right.
Yeah, with me, Samantha Rund.
That's right.
Yeah, and guests. So yeah, you can go listen to that where you like to podcast, or if you prefer on YouTube, it's there as well. If you rather watch, and I have on artists and other creative people to talk about the process, how it impacts our life, and so on and so forth from there. And then, of course, if you're looking for a coach to help you use performance skills to improve your life, for that voice, body, mind connection, to be a better communicator, public speaking, of course, for actors, writers, comedians, or if you're just looking for more personal development and confidence, I am happy to help you out with that. You can reach me at beyondtechniquecoaching@gmail.com with questions.
And that's those podcasts. But this is this one. So right now, I want you to open your hearts and open your ear holes and listen to episode number 164, Pamela Turpin.
Do you think they're going to like write reviews and say that Pamela Turpin's a fucking asshole?
Possibly. That's
if they do, sweet. It would be like they really loved
that
you.
That would be a lot of anger that, in somebody to say
they
that.
Probably meant it like a compliment, you know?
Yeah. Sweet. Okay.
Like bad. Yeah.
Nice.
Good.
Like maybe they're from Boston or something and not just.
God, that Pamela. Yeah, I can't do a Boston accent.
She's a fucking asshole.
Yeah. I am apples.
Yeah, Pamela Turpin. Okay, cool.
Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by to receive our transmission. Stand by, stand by, stand by, stand by. Join us. Impressive. Join us. Impressive.
You know, did I tell you that I'm going to go back to Kid Stage again?
You did not, but I saw you posted it and I was like, of course that happened. Like that, it's, I mean, not of course, but of course, right?
I left out some of the private, some other details on it, but you know, I have wanted to just like, I'm like, this is like the second year in a row I've been like, I didn't send them my schedule for the summer. I was like, I don't want to. No, I'm going to do
something
else.
You're just in such demand that they.
It is because I've created sort of a specialty that I do there and of
oh,
making
how cool.
these original musicals like from scratch in a week. I think how the 48 fun. Hour has helped. That's why the 48 hour is so almost easy for me. Is
yeah.
I've been doing this for years, like creating a whole musical in a week
yeah.
with children. And so I'm like, well, I didn't send them my schedule. And they're like, perfect class. Hey, Silas, we got this class. And I was like, oh, my God. And I was like, no, I have kids. I mean, one's
you're old. Going back to kids stage.
I said one of them's too old. One of them's old enough to do kids stage. The other one's not. So I can't. And so then they had a powwow and came back to me with a better offer in order to make it financially
for your babysitting
so that I
and
could
stuff.
Be babysitting. So yeah, so now my wife's staying home for the week. She's taking vacation because she has so much vacation because we don't go anywhere because you know pandemic. So she's doing a staycation to stay home with my son, who she's never been alone with for like a day.
Because, wait, are you serious?
Yeah.
Not even a single day alone?
No, because we have the older one. And so there's, like, I've taken Willow out to, like, oh, Dad, we went to a movie. So she had, like, a couple hours with him.
Oh, you mean, like, one-on-one with your guys' son?
Yeah. So she hasn't had ever in his life one-on-one for, like, hours and hours and hours.
Wow. Like, just those 9 months of...
That wasn't alone. Yeah, in incubation. But I'm gonna get a good check out of it to do it, and it's really fun.
Yeah, it sounds and fun.
I'm just like, oh, they just keep sucking me. I'm gonna have to change my phone number next year.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just trying to like, I don't know. I should focus on real estate.
You are focusing on it, but you know,
not for that week.
Yeah, no. Exactly. But you can have a week to refresh.
Yeah.
And you never know. You can have some of the parents might be looking for a real estate agent at that time.
That's why I did it a couple of years. And then I was like, I don't think that's going to work. They don't.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. I met Pam. Pam, do you go by Pam or Pamela?
I like Pamela. I mean, I'm not going to like, I won't like physically hurt you if you call me Pam. But
is it because of Kamala? Is that why?
No, I just, Pam is like... It sounds like it's a lady who lives on a farm. I have nothing against farms. I actually want to have a farm, but it just sounds a little harsher.
Okay.
Like Pam. But like Pamela sounds a little bit
Pamela.
More elegant. I'm not that's necessarily elegant. Name. I like Pamela.
Pamela.
But people call me Pam and I don't really notice it. I just kind of let it go. But if I'm asked, I like Pamela.
I know. I know someone else who's like that. Hey, actually, I'm like that. I don't want to be.
Yeah. What's up, Cy?
Ah. Oh.
Sil. Oh. Ass. Why didn't I ever think of calling you that before?
Ass. I met you at Kid Stage.
Yes, sir.
I'm
you
pretty
did.
Sure. Okay. I was going back in my mental Rolodex. Mm-hmm. Going, I'm pretty sure it was Kid Stage.
Yeah.
We never did a class together though, right? You were like before or after mine.
I don't think so. Yeah. Because you would do the drama class or comedy class and I would teach dance in the evening. Long time ago, but
you are you done with that? Are you done with that part of your life?
The kids, with dancing?
Kids.
Oh, Kid Stage. I taught there for years. I don't even know. I think I was there for a long time and I'll go in and do a master class sometimes, but I think I'm done with that part. And I just haven't even taught in a while. Well, COVID, all my studios closed down, but I think I needed a break. I did it for so many years that I just coach like the pre-professional, usually 19 to like late 20s. I was doing a lot of, I think I'm kind of done with that part for sure.
So like the last 2 years I thought I was done and then, no. Then I come back and they're like, okay, how about this online? Here's what the only reason I did last year was really because it was online.
Mm.
And so I didn't have necessarily the babysitting excuse of needing a babysitter, but it scared me. And so I was willing to do it.
Because
I had
like
no
a new
idea.
Challenge, right?
I had no idea what to do. Yeah, I've got these things down. So I've got to like a science now of creating these musicals. Like I know what to do. So now yeah. I purposely throw wrenches into it now to see what I can do.
That's cool.
I'm like, I just don't, I want it to be
dodge
hard.
This.
I want it to be hard. So I do like,
not fast
well,
enough.
Maybe this year we won't yeah. do this. And I put myself in a box and see how we can work out.
I mean, it's possible. Yeah. I would, I'm not really like doing a lot of teaching anymore. I kind of got pretty fried on it. So
it's sometimes I sit there and I go, I did not go to school to do this. I did not, I did not go get a degree. I had no intention of teaching children. This was like a, oh, okay. A thing popped up. Sure. Make a little money. I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, is that, yeah, no, I'm supposed to be doing Molière on a stage in okay. front of rich yeah, white people, not
teach them
this.
While in the character of Molière.
In rhyme, do it in rhyme.
Yeah, you know, and rhyming get yourself costumed couplets. Up too.
It's yeah, that would be funny. That would actually mm-hmm. be quite enjoyable. Maybe that could be my thing this year. I'm going to go in costume.
Oh man, did I ever tell you about that city time? Century. One time, a friend back in undergrad, friend was directing. I was assistant directing a show of hers, and our cast, we just felt like everybody's getting a little bit too stressed towards, you know, like towards opening.
Okay.
And so it was, I think it was our last dress rehearsal or something. What we did is we showed up like 15 minutes late to rehearsal. We wore all black and berets and scarves, and we came in with like over the top English accents and just like, we're just dramatic. I think I threw a piece of furniture.
Nice.
It was fun. We were just messing with them because we're like, okay, we need to like have a laugh now, you guys. But yeah.
Why did you ask? So you just wanted to know if I was still going to teach there, or why did you ask about Kids Stage?
Well, because I'm doing it. Because I just brought it up about me, and so
okay.
I was relating.
Yeah,
trying to
just wondering,
trying to find a point of relation between another human being.
Got you.
And here, Samantha, have you ever taught children?
Yeah, he was like, I don't care about you, Samantha. Yeah, I have taught children.
Do you get bitter? Like you, like Silas? Do you get Silas what? Bitter? Do you get Silas
bitter? I thought you said better.
Me too.
No, wait, do you get bitter? Silas bitter?
Bitter about what?
Like that you're teaching kids and not like doing a film about with Tarantino or something.
Well, I mean, I haven't. I don't usually teach kids. I have taught kids, but yeah. not usually because okay. at that, like, I mean, because
for you, is anything a gig? A gig's a gig. Like it's.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just, I mean, usually if I have like a week long thing, like I used to teach at Centrum Young's artist program up in Port Townsend, which was really fun. They were like middle school and like, they weren't like really young, but and yeah, I would do like an original like Shakespeare or viewpoints improv sort of fusion class with them a few times and other things too. It was really, really fun. But like that week I was just so absorbed in what I was doing. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about like, oh, I didn't get cast in this or that. But also like in Seattle, it's not like we're having a million auditions to get that. So you could say that I'm always bitter and never bitter about not being in movie. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying like, it's not related. You know what I mean? It's not related. It's like
to kids.
and plus I love teaching, like teaching's part of like one of my whys for existence. So it's like, it's me teaching is unrelated to any sort of frustration I have with not being as established in the movie yeah. industry as I want it to be by now.
I don't know how to tell my agent, don't send me anything that's going to piss me off. Because he would never know what's going to randomly set me off, like when I go,
I don't know what set you off into
when I
what happened,
huh?
No, don't I'm mind just saying, me.
No, I've talked about stuff on here. So then I love getting paid. Right, one, I don't mind the pay for getting teaching children. Right, actually, improv. I love teaching the kids improv. That I would almost do for free. Almost, I love that absolutely. But
we should do a black and a half improv class one of these days because I love that too.
There's
I'm just saying.
Okay,
fun.
There's only
okay, Pamela.
There's always, There's always a week, a day, a week of the kids that I'm like, why am I doing this? Why did I say yeah? I just get frustrated. Like, this is not what I planned on. I never thought of this. And then when I do the auditions, like where I have to, like, I walk in and they have me pretend that I'm holding fruit and then take pictures of my hands and I leave. And I'm like, I fucking spent $20,000 to go to school to learn to act. And this is, and that's what I'm doing now. Like, I get really, that it makes me mad. So I'm like, I feel like I could have skipped school. I could have skipped theater school if I knew that was going to be what I...
Only $20,000, huh?
Wow. I know. That's what I was thinking. I was like, that wasn't very much to go to
California. Was really to pay school. For my expenses or my housing and stuff. I don't know. I get really upset at some of this sometimes. Well, also, it adds on. I'm paying a babysitter so that I can get to this audition to show my hands. Where now I think they wouldn't make me. I'm hoping now, like Zooms, they'll just have me zoom my hands.
You know what? Something.
Like, I'll get less hostile
I used to, and I feel bad because I want Pamela to talk more too.
Give it to me. What do you give it to me?
I think it was like growing pains of what I used to get upset about that I'm not upset about anymore. Do you know? Or at least haven't been. Hopefully I don't get upset about it, but I have like a different perspective on the industry and on work and acting work and this and that. I have like a different perspective than I did a couple of years ago. Like before, sure. I would be really upset. And when I was in LA, I would get like, I don't even want to use the word depressed, but I'd get sad too. Cause I'd be like, I'm working a job I don't like. I'm far away from family. I'm exhausted. I'm this, I'm that, blah, blah, blah. I have all this training. And like you said, like I drove an hour to do that. Right. And I just get frustrated. Cause I'm like, that's not what I intended to sign up for. And I was focused on that part. But like after some time, I just started to see things more clearly. Like, you know what? This is a money job. This is what you do to like, getting a commercial is like mini booking the lottery, depending on the size of the commercial, right? It's like, this is this part of work. Mm-hmm. Like doing a film is this part of work. Doing TV is that part of work. Theater is that part. So I just, my perspective of it is different now than what it used to be. And so I've just gotten less angry because I think I see it more, for myself, I see it more clearly in like, what if my expectations were unrealistic.
Mm.
I mean, it was unrealistic of what the reality of the business is or was.
Yeah. It'll be interesting too, because with COVID now, so much is changing that I don't even know really how that's going to pan out. I don't think any of us do. I share that opinion too. I think I've changed my perspective on it, but now it's I don't even know what to think anymore. It's going to be interesting the next couple of years of how that unfolds and how all of our perspectives are probably just going to be interesting. Yeah. So
I'm hoping they keep more of like the Zoom auditions and things like that. Cause it'd be great to maybe I'll be able to audition for things in other markets to be able to, not have to leave Seattle to get the opportunity to do like more films and stuff.
I had a film audition recently for Portland that I probably would have had to drive down to before otherwise for the four lines. And I would have been I would have driven there, been frustrated.
Yeah.
I'll come all the way back and be like, hope. And last time I did that, I got sideswiped by a car. And
that sucks.
So I got PTSD. Wow. Yeah.
I do remember years ago driving down to Portland for an audition like that and just like raging all the way back home. Like I was so angry. And my sister was with me at the time. And I got more angry because I had to explain to her how I didn't want my career to be like freaking gambling. And, you know, I'm trained and I'm this and I'm that. And I didn't need to drive in the car for 4 hours for like a 2 minute audition and blah, blah, wasting my time. You know, I was so angry. And you know what? Having that perspective, of course I was going to be angry. Yeah. But it's just like that comes with that was part of the territory then that I unknowingly signed up for.
I think the first time I went to Portland to audition, I thought it was going to be like this, like a long, like, I don't know what I thought it would be. And I was like, I couldn't believe we were done that quick. So I was like, wait, I thought I was a finalist in this, like for a national commercial. I thought they'd spend like a half hour working me, see what I could do. And it was just like, sat there, like, ran through a couple temps. Oh, we're good. And then found out later, it's like, well, it's pretty much they decide whichever baby they decide, they're going to pick the parents off the baby. Like, so why'd they come down? Just pick your baby and then go, okay.
True.
Like, they're making sure I had, I don't know, all my arms. I don't know.
Maybe.
Pam, Pamela, are you classically trained, or are you trained, or are you just natural? Like,
I am. Well, what are we talking about? Like,
did you
circus trained
assassin?
Are you trained assassin?
Like pastry baking trained.
I want a pastry now.
In the arts, in the performing arts.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes. I have, I'm started out as a dancer. So my degree is in, dance performance with an emphasis in choreography. So classically trained dancer. But then when I got to Seattle, I did mostly concert dance, but I couldn't pay my bills off of that because no one gives a shit about modern dance. Yeah. No one gives a shit.
Shocking.
Yeah. Shocking.
Was that your specialty, classically trained in like in modern or ballet and modern or
all of ballet, modern jazz, so cool. Mostly those three. Yeah. So it was, a lot of concert, all that jazz. Yeah. And from where?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, because you said when you came to Seattle.
Can you see me there?
I came back.
Plug in my. I went to school in Las Vegas, Nevada. There is a school there, surprisingly. Yeah. But so their school was well rounded and is ballet, jazz, and modern. So like three of those. But I didn't do any real acting or singing till I moved to Seattle. And Seattle's a big theater town, musical theater town. So it kind of found me. But then I started to train as a actress, singer, and did like improv and comedy and different like impersonations I haven't done really a lot of straight plays. Is that word even used anymore? Is it not PC anymore? I don't fucking know anymore.
Isn't that funny? Exactly.
I don't know anymore.
Just a non-musical play, a regular ass play.
Just regular ass play with no like rhinestones and shit. But I haven't done really that, so I mostly do musicals, but I would love to do more, you know, regular theater stuff. I am classically trained.
UNLV? Did you go to UNLV?
Yes, I did. Oh, okay. There is a school in Vegas. It's off the strip.
No, there's a couple. I know UNLV because of the basketball scandal.
Yeah.
But
that, yeah. So I started as a dancer.
Are you from Vegas?
Cool.
No, I'm from New Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Santa Fe.
I want to visit Santa Fe.
You should.
I will say I had the idea in my head from when I was little to visit because of two musicals.
Okay, I got you.
Can you guess the
Rails,
you guys? Open up a restaurant in Santa Fe?
Rent was one. But the first one that made me want to visit Santa Fe is from a different musical.
Oh, I should know that. Oh, I know there's Rent, but ooh, what is it?
Santa Fe.
Or do musical theater. I'm not a huge musical theater nerd.
I don't know a ton of music. I mean, I know some musicals.
Musical.
I'll give you clues. Movie musical.
I should know it.
Christian Bale was in it.
Newsies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. That's
right.
That's right.
One day. I'm going to watch that.
Oh,
no.
Dude, watch it.
It is good.
Is it a Disney film?
It's good. It's good for kids. You got kids.
Is Newsies?
It is. Yeah, it was. Oh, it started at, like,
I
Disney.
Couldn't remember.
So it's on Disney Plus, maybe.
Probably.
Okay, if it's that, I'll check that out.
Man, I loved that musical when I was younger.
Can I swear on this thing? Sometimes I'll drop a bunch of f bombs. Okay, good. It happens. It's like a Tourette's kind
of. We have to because of Samantha. She swears a lot. Part of her dirty comedy.
I like that about Samantha.
Yeah. Did you
give it to me?
When did the bug hit you? Like the performance bug? Was that as a child, or
you want the real answer?
Yes,
the
it
truth?
Is a disease.
Wait, do I want the real answer? The truth?
She's called it a bug.
Yeah, do you want the truth? Yeah, 5 years old. Shit, you not. I was just telling my girlfriend like yesterday that I knew at five. I didn't know what it was, like the word. I didn't really know what artist meant, but I knew like I wanted to. I knew I wanted people to watch me. Attention whore. I knew that, but I just loved being in front of people and being goofy. And back in the Dizzy, I was born in the 70s. So, but in the 80s, we had those big, huge cameras. Those like weighed like 500 pounds. You'd put it on your shoulder. So we would do like little plays in the neighborhood. But I knew at five, I knew I wanted to just be a goof and be on stage and have people watch me. And that's the depth of what I knew. I didn't know what it again, the word or the how to do that and navigate that. But I felt it at a very young age, for sure. Hands down. Should have become a lawyer because I really have no money to show for that or fame. And I've been doing this my whole life. But oh, well.
But I can't. What would happen if you were a lawyer? Like, can you really?
I'd have a lot more money. Like, a lot more money.
Can you really imagine yourself as a lawyer?
I'm kind of, I have a big mouth. I probably could win some cases. Maybe I'm pretty mouthy and ballsy. And
but like knowing the, like, the like 95% of cases never even get to court. Like it's mostly,
probably, yeah,
it's mostly a paperwork job.
Well, and then if you wanted to maybe. Do the, I mean, it is kind of like a, because yeah, I really wanted to be a lawyer for a stretch of time as well too. A stretch.
I didn't want to be. I'm just saying if I had done something else, I might have more money than a fucking actor.
Oh man. I was just haunted by like, I figured I'd be like really successful and like have like the office and like, you know, all that stuff. But I figured that then I would be watching the Oscars and just crying because I felt like I wasted my life because I didn't go after what I really wanted.
Your dream. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I use it as a consolation for like, you know, haven't made it to the Oscars yet, but I'm like, you know what? But if I wasn't trying at all, I think I'd just be really more miserable.
I would too. I don't regret it. Like, I mean, there obviously is more life than money. I just joke about it because it's like, man, this is a rough life, but it's very rewarding. I wouldn't do it any other way. It's too much of an adrenaline rush when you're on stage. So it was a straight
path for you the whole time?
Yep.
Like from did you never thought about doing anything else really?
Nope. I didn't start dancing till for a dancer pretty late. I was 14 when I started training, but I'd always kind of done stuff and, you know, whatever, elementary, whatever that is. But I didn't start training till late, but I knew like once I got to about 17, 18, because that's as a dancer, you got to make a hard choice real fast. Mm-hmm. And my parents supported it. They thought I was kind of nuts, but I was really lucky on the parent front where they did support it. And I went to college for it. So I knew at 18, like if for whatever reason they didn't support it and they did want me to become a lawyer, I would have probably gone to New York, waited tables and trained there and done that whole thing. But because they did support it, I did go to school. So yeah, I knew absolutely.
So did you go straight from Vegas?
I got to see some of your dance now. I know I cut you off.
I'm retired now, but yeah.
Did you go straight from Vegas to Seattle?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I graduated and I knew I didn't want to stay in Vegas because at the time it was mostly just more showgirl stuff, which is great. Nothing against that. I just wanted to do more modern dance, which then was there was no musicals or real modern dance in the 90s. You guys can do the math on my age. Well,
all right.
But then now you go there and there's a ton of like concert dance, there's a ton of musicals, obviously in Vegas, but I wanted more of that. And at the time it was just the more old school, like, really cool. It's really cool now. I think I'd want to do it now at 45, but, just more of that
mouth for us.
Yeah. You're welcome. It just wasn't, you know, I just wanted a little bit more theater and there just wasn't that. So see, I had heard a couple of directors and choreographers that were out here. I really knew nothing about Seattle, but I just kind of gambled.
So what was there a reason you didn't choose to go to New York or LA?
Yes. I think I definitely was too intimidated to jump into the New York circle. I was 22 when I graduated. I wasn't ready for that. And I wasn't doing musicals then. I was interested in it, but I was doing mostly modern dance. And, you know, Seattle has a pretty good community for that. And I knew, like I said, a couple of choreographers that I wanted to work with. And that just seemed too much for me. And I think Seattle's been good to me. I've had a great success here. Not everyone does. I feel really lucky that it really basically gave me a career moving to Seattle. Who knows what would have happened if I went to New York? I don't know. But in LA, I don't do as much film. Like I've done film and commercial, but I'm not as hungry for it, for that type of rat race.
You did film for me.
I did. I just showed somebody you're cute. I was so much fun that short. I've done some of it, but LA is a whole other thing. It's a whole other type of mindset to, you know, climb up that ladder, so to speak. And I mostly do live theater. That's what I'm trained in. So that's where my hunger comes in and my passion. I mean, if someone gave me a film, yes, but that's not how it works, obviously. So I don't want to, I don't enjoy it enough to run that race. So, yeah.
I often wonder, because I feel when I look back, I don't think my theater program is so focused on getting us prepared to go for a master's that I don't think I really thought about moving to New York, what that would be like, and how do I, and I think one of the reasons I didn't go, besides love and stupid stuff like that, but like,
oh yeah, other reasons to live. Oh boy.
Yeah. Well,
like I didn't have this clear vision of what it would be like to go to New York and pursue, like, what's the first thing you do? I remember trying to ask a new professor that we had about that, and he seemed like didn't understand what the hell I was talking about. I guess I just didn't get, like, I don't get how I go and become a director there. I move there, but then I got to find a job, right?
Right.
What the hell am I going to do? I'm not trained for anything except theater. I didn't understand the fundamentals of what it would mean to move there or LA. And I think that was partly why I think that's why I kind of grasped onto my girlfriend and said, I think that was a reason I was like, well, I need to know the future here. And like, okay, I'll get engaged and that will keep me from having to make a decision because I focus on her.
I don't know. I mean, if I wanted to do it, I think I should have done it in my 20s, but I don't know if I would have known what to do either if I had gone at such a young age. So I think Seattle really gave me just a great foundation. I understood what the business was about. So if I were to go now and, you know, with the knowledge I have, but like the joints and knees when I was like 25, now that ship sailed, you know, and then I would understand what it's about. But I think I may not have been good if I'd gone at such a young age. I probably would have burnt out and I probably would have given up, maybe. Could be. I don't know.
Did you realize when you were young that the short lifespan of a dancer?
I did not. I retired. I'm 45. So I suffered a career ending injury 3 years ago. And even at 42, you would think that's, you know, you would think that I would have known that, but to be quite honest, I think that was a way to survive of dancing as long as I did. And so when it hit me, I was like, oh man, this is real. But I really just thought I could kind of go for a while. And I had a pretty good run. 42 is pretty, you know, a good run for a dancer. And I really didn't have an idea. Or I think I knew on a deep level, I just didn't want to admit it because that's a bitter pill to swallow. So I had to really deal with that. Like I didn't see it coming. I knew it would end, but I didn't want to admit it. So,
but you still do some work, right? Oh, I mean, like, okay, pre-pandemic, you were doing some work, right?
Yeah. Well, I was, and that's how I got injured. The last show I did was, I guess, 2018, but I was pretty injured. I pushed it farther than I should have. And so now it's like my body was telling me once, and then a year later I get injured again, it told me again. And so I finally listened and I was like, I got to call it and I got to pass the torch on. So yeah, it is a lot shorter, but as an actress or a singer, you know, I think I'm just getting better. So my voice is definitely better than it was 10 years ago. And acting, you know, now I'm at an age where I can do the roles that are more interesting to me anyway. Yeah. So that's the silver lining of that is a dancer is shorter, but you know, you can act and do comedy for a long time.
Now the pandemic put most every live theater person on hold pretty much.
Yep. Right?
So with it coming back, I'm curious about artists, how they're thinking now between like the survival, like, I know for me, part of it has been like, oh, well, shit, I need to be very prepared, not for maybe this to happen again, but something. Like, I was like, I need to have some reserves that I did not anticipate I would need to this. Even though as a small business person, I'm told to always have reserves. Like, well, this really taught me when it knocked out a whole all of my methods of making money.
Yeah, aside for sure.
Really, I was like, I've always had been proud of like, oh, I have like five jobs that I can do to make money. And it knocked four of them out completely.
Correct.
I was like,
yeah, me too.
Oh shit. What do I, so how do you like, Are you gonna? Yeah. Do you think you'll jump right back in as they perform, or are you gonna?
That's such a great question. I haven't been asked that. Because I experienced the same thing. I literally lost 4 jobs in 72 hours when COVID hit. Literally, like boom, 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 all gigs, and I was like, "Oh fuck!" But now I'll never take it for. I don't think I ever took it for granted. But at this point, I will never take for granted being on stage again. So if I have an opportunity, who knows how theaters? I definitely want to try to get back at it, to give it at least a shot and see where I'm at with where my age is now, what I can, how I can market myself now. So absolutely, I would love to be on stage again. I don't think anyone can really answer how that's going to look because it's going to be ultra competitive. And it's going to be shifting. So I would feel lucky if I could do it again, and I would be happy to, but I can't sit here either and just, I guess, hold my breath for it. I have to also be able to move on from it.
Yeah.
Do that make sense?
Ultra. Do you think people are, do you think we're going to have a surge of people that, I don't know, weren't doing it, that are like, well, life is too short. That's what COVID taught me. I got to go pursue my dream. Or will it create more of a reserved society? Like,
that's a great, I think it could be, I think it's going to be a lot of the people that have already been doing it, like our age bracket, but I have a lot of students that were, you know, just getting into it, 19, 22, 25, that got their, you know, at least I had a career. If I died tomorrow, I had a career. And they're, you know, 22 years old and they haven't experienced it and auditions aren't even the same. And I don't even know what to tell them. I can't really coach them. I don't know what the hell it's going to look like. So I was like, good luck, kid. But, you know, I think it's going to be those, that age bracket that they were just starting to audition and maybe get gigs in New York or at Fifth Avenue. And they got I think that's going to be the younger generation, a bigger surge of that because they were already up to bat for that stuff. Whereas, you know, I think my demographic and a little older, sure, we would love to, but it's not as new for us. So I think I think anything goes. I think it could be really ultra competitive where it's just new people and the older people that have been doing it, veterans. But then there could be that pocket where people are scared. I mean, man, even with vaccines, what's that going to look like when you're sweating and breathing and up next to somebody? I think there'll be that pocket where they just may not want to do it too. So we'll see, right?
I think for me, I'm suffering that through comedy right now of trying to decide if I'm gonna, I mean, I'm sure I'll go to an open mic at some point and tell a joke, but
I hope you do. I want to see you.
It's hard to think about now that I've lived life with my going on without it.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, oh, I can still breathe. Everything's fine. I don't need that. I don't need it.
Sure.
I got skills out of it. But I'm like, I'm not going to, I have no desire to do the qualms about saying no to.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking Yakima again. I mean, but you would have to pay me so much money.
Yeah, true.
To go to Yakima to do
comedy? That's true.
A lot of money. I just can't imagine, like, I'm not going for $100 and.
Got you.
No.
I'm not even. No. And that's the good thing is, like, I think artists now, we have seen it. So whether the collector society gets it or not, but with us, I'm not either. Like, you're going to pay me. Like, this is bullshit what a lot of artists have gone through before. So I'm hoping that part is strong where we can keep that bar raised, where the unions are even stronger.
Damn it. We kept everyone sane.
Correct.
Artists kept everyone sane because they had all this content to consume and maybe not live, you know, not live artists, but like we kept everyone sane watching Netflix and consuming content. And I think people should, I doubt they will, but I feel like there should be a more of a respect for the
professions
that people know that these are the things we can survive on. We just need toilet paper and actors.
That's all we need. They gotta compensate us fairly for it. You're right. No one has $100 gig driving 5 hours away. No. And I hope we don't go backwards into that world as well. So again, anything goes. We'll see, because the people that We know that. We know that that bar has to be raised financially, but people will be wanting to see us. They're going to be dying to see music and comedy and dance and blah, 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 blah. But they will soon quickly forget that we do need to have a living wage as well. So
Renaissance, I don't know. Do you think there's a Renaissance coming because of...
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say fair after that.
No.
I did too. And I was
all
like,
right. I was like, I want to go to a Renaissance fair.
Rose will be back.
I was like, that sounds like fun.
I think there could be. I think well, it's going to be interesting because of all the political waves that have happened. I'm excited to see what that's going to be like, because there are a lot. We aren't going to take shit anymore on any level. Black, brown community, any people of color, women, gay, straight. I'm not going back to that shit. And all, you know, my friends, we're done with that shit. So I'm excited to see.
What are you talking about?
What am I being? You're like, what is she fucking talking about?
I'm like, well, if you figured out the way we cast to not deal with any of it, that would be great. To
the way we cast, absolutely. Like, no one. We're done with not being represented, right? Oh, representation matters. That kind of I think that's what I'm excited about. That part. I don't see that going backwards. I really don't. I think it's going to be, that's the exciting part of that progressive part. If you call it a Renaissance, whatever you want to call it, that could be part of it. But I am excited to know and see that the strength of so many different diverse actors and performers, there's no way we could go backwards. I feel strongly that it'll keep pushing forward.
I'm still knocking on wood.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
do think that I knock on wood just because I knock on wood. Like, saying something like that, I'm like, let's not tempt fate. But
yeah.
But I do think that has been one of the best things about social media and YouTube and this and that, is because there are more people of color that are making their own content.
Yeah.
And then you see people see like, oh, this is watchable. It's viewable. People want to like, oh, we can get their dollars then. Look at their audience. So I think as long as we're making stuff, then I agree.
Yeah.
But that's backwards.
Great.
And not that we should always have to make our own stuff, but just like having that capability in a greater sense than say like 20 years ago.
Yes. And that's what I meant, is like that part I think will be strong, where we're ready to just keep pushing it forward. Yeah. And I have so many artist friends from different walks of life, and that's the common theme is, that seems to be the real positive outcome of this despair we've had on COVID, with Trump, with everything. That's the silver lining I see, is that we're able to take it to a level that it just has been so dormant. I'm hoping, but I think it's more than hope. I really do. I think it's, I don't know, I guess it's hope, but I think it's a little stronger than that. If that makes sense.
In the POC content stuff, I was thinking about this earlier today, because I told Samantha, and I finally bought it, my SAG membership, because I have to do another gig, and I'm going to be writing a letter to get out of it. So I need to go FICOR, because there's not enough work. Right. But I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of the reasons I was thinking about my letter, and I was like, well, because there's not enough, I need to write them to say, hey, because there's not enough work here. And I was like, well, especially as a POC, I can't, there's no work. And then I started getting mad thinking about it. Like, you're going to tell me I can't do something when there's already barely anything I can do? No. How dare you, sir? Like, it's this imaginary conversation with an entity, not with a person even.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about that. Like, God, it stinks. Like, not only is it hard to get any work here, SAG. Mm. I'm like, a SAG thing that actually has POC in it? Are you, what unicorn is this going to be that shows up once every 4 years? Like, I mean, I'm like, when white people can't even get the work, how am I going to get anything? I can't even get the black roles. I can't, you know? How many ambiguous roles will show up?
It's true. I don't know. I think that part's going to get better. I do. Is it too? I just, I don't know. I see some good stuff coming.
Well, I'm still hoping for that they get the what's that called? Enter my mind for just a moment. No, the thing where they're trying to build the studio here.
The incentives.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm still hoping that actually gets pushed through, because it'd be so great if they had, you know, more productions were able to be up here with that.
Yeah,
it'd be great.
Hope it happens. Hope it shows up.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there's going to be some cool shit coming down the line. I think
I hope you're right.
Hey, once my kids are in daycare, I can start writing films again. Right? That's what
I want to be in it.
That's right. You just told me you didn't care anymore.
I did. What?
You said you don't care about film.
No, I just don't want to go to LA and do that rat race. Okay, I would love to be in film, but to go to LA and run that rat race, I don't have the energy anymore. Can't do that. I'm too exhausted.
I can barely run this
in Seattle sometimes. Yeah.
Here.
It's still competitive, but it's not as
No, I'm so, I can't wait to nap. I'm like,
I can't wait to nap.
I'm going to nap. My kid's going to go to daycare and I'm going to nap.
I'm 45. That's all I want to do is nap. I do. Oh. It's going to get worse. Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah. Excuse me.
Okay. So you say you're knocking on wood. So do you not feel that it's going to change? I'm not saying tomorrow, but do you not feel that there's could be some good things on the horizon with roles for people of color, or
me knocking on wood? There's certain ways that people make statements that I feel like I've, you know, all the millions of movies I've watched, it's like there's certain kind of statements that sound like it's tempting fate, or it's like they say this and then like right after that there's something horrible, you know what I mean? So I definitely hope that you are correct. And I also have hope as well, but it's just making certain statements that I'm like, oh, I'm not going
to don't fuck it up.
Yeah. That kind of thing, sort of, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
I think there will be because the interest in the stories, I feel like there's more also people of color, at least in the Black community. I don't know I can't speak for others, but I feel like there's more insisting that the stories be told.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more people willing to go, okay, what can we do? Maybe we can make this happen.
Well, you put it more eloquently than me. That's exactly what I meant to say. Yeah. You just said it better.
That aren't just about another slave.
Well, story. And you know, and Silas is going to be writing that film that we'll both be in.
Yeah.
Or maybe perfect. I can co-write it with you or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool. So can I not be the Hispanic maid? That would be cool if I'm not a maid. I'd like that. That'd be cool. Or like the Hispanic mistress. Can we do something else?
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Sure. Is that a common thing?
But that's the title of the film. The title of the film.
Yeah.
Hispanic mistress. Silas is going to play the Hispanic mistress.
As long as we switch it up. Okay, I didn't play them at the same time, but I've, you know, mistress. I've done a lot of this.
The maidstress. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be a
Mr. Maidstress.
Comedy slasher. Comedy. Musical.
Nice.
And that's going
to. I wish I could make comedy horror. Like, I'm always thinking.
Are you kidding?
You can.
Well, I know you can. I love some, but when I try to think of one, I can't figure out how to make. I was like, I can't. No, it's horror.
Dude.
I can't get it in my brain to cross the two.
Let's do it. Signals. Let's make a short.
A comedy.
Oh, horror. I want to do another short. Yeah, let's do it.
Short comedy horror.
Yeah,
and you'll be the mistress,
the clown.
Silas.
I like.
Oh, you can be the mistress. I'll be the clown.
And I'll be the I would like to dress in drag personally. So if we can do that, that would be better. Well,
hopefully, I want COVID
compliant.
Okay. I just want the COVID stuff to be done.
Well, yeah, Silas, I can't film this with you for a hot minute.
I
can start writing it though.
A few things that are your way. Okay, I have to go to and do another SAG shoot, and I'm like, oh my God. So if I didn't pay for it already, I might not have said yes if I realized I was going to have to get another COVID test done. Because I'm like, are you shitting me? I mean.
Wait, I thought you were vaccinated. Why would you?
Well, because you could still pass it.
Yeah.
No, they say I can't, apparently, but it doesn't matter to this. It is not. Well,
who says you can't?
The latest science that they're following says.
Where's this latest science? I haven't heard that. The latest science that I heard.
That's why
that
it's just
it reduces the transmission. I still haven't heard them say it totally takes away.
Well, none of it totally does.
Yeah.
Anyway, none of it does.
I'm sorry. I'm real sassy today.
The chances are apparently it's minuscule chances. Anyway, my last COVID test was so horrendous. I was just like, no, I'm not doing it again. I don't care. Like, if they'll have to put a giant, I'll have to write the dollars that I'm going to get paid on the windshield so that I can handle this fucking test. And I'm just above breaking even on this stupid thing, because that's why I'm doing it now, because I'm going to break even on the SAG initiation fee. Because I got 3 days of work, so it's worth it. So the next time I'll have money. I just didn't want to lose. I'm afraid because I'm being called back to do the same role again for 12 more episodes that I did before.
Well, that's amazing. 12 more episodes.
They're like 4 minute episodes or whatever, but still. I was like, I don't want to give up my spot because they'll recast me. Right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, no, if this is a big thing, I got to stay in it. So that's why I'm doing it. And, but God, oh my God, it hurt so bad. It hurt worse than the vaccine.
I just can't with it right now.
What?
Can I ask another question?
No, I'm sorry.
No,
actually, no, it's totally fine.
Shove it up and hurt. It hurts so bad.
Oh, that hurt. I thought you were talking about your dues.
That's what I thought he meant too.
No, the vaccine test.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Depending on how you get the test. It's like
this drive through up in.
Wait, so you have
Seattle.
To go to the same drive through? Because I had to get one. I got a free one for. Yeah, the free one for set. I had driven up to the, or we had driven out to the Aurora location for free.
Yeah.
And that one was like the first time I got it was terrible. Oof. The second time I got it, it wasn't as bad. The lady told me, she was like, breathe in. She's like, you can breathe while you're getting it done. It'll hurt less, which was awesome that she, I didn't think I could breathe because I thought, you know, well, you know, it's like up in your area, like you feel like you shouldn't be breathing. Right.
Right.
And normally like I'll breathe to relax myself. So it just made the pain worse by holding my breath. Second time wasn't as bad, but like recently I had to get another, I actually had to get like another swab thingy for a test. And that one was just like really easy. I thought they were going to stick it all the way up. No, I thought they were going to stick it all the way up my nose, and they didn't.
I just want to tell them, like, when I pulled up,
I was so surprised.
Look, guy, I'm vaccinated.
I know, fascinating conversation.
I'm vaccinated. Can you not go all the way? Do you have to go?
Do you have to go all the way?
Just the tip. Got it.
Just the tip. Just stick the tip in.
Just the tip.
Like, it won't.
Just the tip.
Got the name of the episode. Okay.
Just the name. Give it to me.
Okay.
That's not what...
Pamela.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The first time somebody comes on Black and a Half, we have 7 questions that we like to ask them. They are
perfect.
The Black and a Half world famous 7 questions.
Done.
So these are just you don't have to
randos.
You don't have to think about them. Just first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
Whatever's no wrong answer. Anyway. Number one, what are you most nerdy about?
Interior design.
Really?
Ooh.
Like mid-century modern furniture and like antique-y shit. Yeah. My dining table is from the 50s.
I can't believe you're cringing like that. I'm like, interior design stuff is so fun.
Is that
Well, because I like, my face does do that. Sometimes it tweaks out like that. I like, I just, it's like antique-y shit. Like, who buys that stuff? It's like your grandma cool. has it, but I know. Okay, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a cool nerd then.
Yeah.
Dude, yes. I love going to Goodwill. Like, yes. This isn't about me, but I'm just saying, like, looking for things that aren't brand new is nothing to be ashamed of. Or like
perfect. Older. I like you. I like your kindred spirit.
Yeah. Well, except Pamela's doing it for the style. You're doing it.
Also for the style.
Thrifty.
Yes, I am thrifty too, but some of my best finds have been from there. You would be surprised.
Because some people like really drop off nice shit.
Seriously, I'm like, yes, I'll buy this $100 thing with the tag still on it for $5.
Done.
Thank you very much. Okay, anyway.
They put those tags on there when they get
there. They well, either way, it worked.
Okay. Pamela, what's something that you love to eat?
I'm not proud of it, but it's when you're a kid, did you ever take the licorice and put it like in a soda as a straw?
Yeah.
So sometimes, I usually eat clean, but sometimes I don't want to as a form of rebellion against myself. So I'll drink a Red Bull out of a licorice straw. And that's I'm not making that
up. Red Vine or a Twizzler?
Red Vines have a better like hole mechanism.
Oh, yeah.
I say that? Hole mechanism.
Yeah.
All the way to Red Vine.
Yeah, so Red Vine inside the Red Bull. I occasionally when I'm just like rebelling against myself.
poor Red Bull. Like, here.
Fuck you, Pamela. I'm gonna drink this fucking Red Bull with a Red Vine.
Me against the world.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Basically.
Oh my gosh, that is so brilliant.
Try it. It's disgusting.
I can't handle Red Bull. It's too terrible. Caffeine for me.
It's just chemicals. It's like sorority chicks drinking it to get hazed or something, but with vodka in it. I feel like a sorority girl, but not.
You're counting this as vodka.
Sometimes. Yeah.
You eat the straw.
Well, it's like I do. Yeah. No, you drink the Red Bull and then you eat the straw, but I just don't always want to eat like a wholesome dinner. You just
want a Red Bull and a straw.
Sometimes. Cause I eat a lot of salads and protein and like keto crap. And you're like, I don't want to eat kale anymore because kale fucking sucks. So then I just have a Red Bull with licorice.
Sound like keto at all. No,
it doesn't. I don't know. It's a trendy word.
What the next question is, what's something you love to drink? Is it the same thing?
I would say we're going to do a hard yes on coffee, like all day, every day, strong.
Okay. How do you like black or?
No, I didn't mean that literally. Just like leaded, like strong coffee, but I do like cream in it, like almond milk cream that already has sweetener in it. So,
do you ever do that? Like Twizzler? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Red Vine and that?
Because the Twizzler and the Red Bull is
black licorice, one.
Coffee, I don't need the straw. The Red Bull licorice thing is just when I'm having like a self loathing day. That's the rebellion. It's like, fuck you, Pamela. And then I just hate myself for a night and I do that. Coffee's just every day.
You just look in the mirror like, fuck you.
Fuck you, Pamela. Yeah. You're an asshole. Sometimes I do. And then that's just how I escape. I know. You asked me on this. That I didn't say it was normal. That's clearly awesome. I'm not.
No.
That was one of the best stories I've heard.
Yeah. No, I love it.
You're welcome. I have more. You should just call me, email me. We'll get coffee. We'll hang out. So
yeah. Actually,
What kind of music?
Pretty cool.
What kind of music do you love?
Well, it's easier to say what I hate, but that's so negative. So, what do I love? I love everything except country. Although I allow Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton to be in there because they're Johnny Cash and Dolly Parton. I'd say that's the only country I'll do. Everything else, I'm not. So I love it pretty much everything but country. So that's a little easier.
What's your go-to? Like is there not a certain style that you're like, that is my jam?
I mean, I'm pretty open. I guess one of my favorite, I love Bjork for a female singer. I love hip hop. I love house. I love techno. I love salsa. I listen to a lot of musicals, but that's because I used to teach it all the time and I do it. So I sing along to it. I don't have a go-to. I know that's lame. I'm pretty open, except again, country. Only country that talks about like your dog and you run over your dog and drink a lot of beer, like Keystone Light, I'm going to assume, is in that song.
That song where that dog died after it had a licorice-infused Red Bull.
For sure. Yeah, that's like the country I'm not into. But only, Johnny Cash is cool.
They can only eat chocolate.
yeah.
What do you love to create?
As an artist? Are we talking about pastries again?
This is an open-ended. Pastries.
I love to create good work with fellow artists that are super talented, super intelligent, super hardworking. I just want to do good work. And that sounds really silly and vague, but I'm not about the, I guess the superficial label or high. I just want to create good shit that the audience is captivated by, whether they cry, laugh, or educated, inspired. I want to connect with them. So any art that allows me to create that type of connection with the audience and that I can collaborate and riff and improv with my fellow actors, that's just a good day. Just good, good art. We all know what it is. We just don't want to admit it.
What's a game you love to play?
Poker.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not very good, but I'm very competitive, so I like to play it. Yeah, and I like to talk a lot of shit. Yeah.
Like Texas Hold'em?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Not good. Not very good, but I like it.
Might have you on an invite list here.
Oh, cool. Well, just poker chips, though. I don't have any money to actually lose. But like Cheetos?
Yeah, I'm playing for Cheetos.
Cheetos, chips, literal or fake ones.
Okay. And last question. In 100 years, when someone reads your biography, what do you want to be remembered for?
In 100 years, if someone reads my biography, what do I want to be remembered for? Hands down that I inspired people and that I made them laugh. That's about it. That's all I need. Yeah. That's why I like being an artist.
For the laughter and the inspiration?
Well, I know that I get to do what other people often dream about. And for whatever reason, they don't. Could be they don't have the talent. They gave up. They are too afraid. Physical, mental, there's all kinds of reasons why someone can't do it. And it's not about a judgment. It is just that I feel lucky that I get to do the things that some people will never be able to do. So I don't ever want to take that for granted. So if I can connect with somebody in the audience that understands that, it's like they need that. And I just can. So I do it. Why do I do it? I can do it. So I do it. Nothing really glamorous about it. It's just, that's why there's some people that are doctors and lawyers. It takes all kinds. I admire people that do brain surgery. I can't do it. Holy love, it'll be terrible. I can't do that stuff. I admire it. But there's people that cannot, they're petrified. They cannot get on stage. They can't. It's not something they can allow themselves for whatever reason. So we get to do it. And I like to give them that. Yeah. Hope that doesn't sound arrogant. That's not how I mean it.
No, I love it. No, I love that. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pamela Turpin.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. Hopefully I didn't embarrass myself or say something like terrible.
No.
You were good. Awesome.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
Do it.
Let's do it again. I have so many questions for you, assholes, but I don't get to ask you.
That's right.
Damn it. Live long and prosper.